Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Look at this article from The Guardian magazine. You can see it here on your screen, that they're saying specifically in this article, John, it's saying England's churches can't survive, but religion.
English churches can survive, yeah, but the religion will have to go.
Think about that. That's
Is that prophetic?
That's so exciting, because religion's what put Jesus on the cross.
That's right.
Religion's what's been beating the stew out of prophets that have been prophesying, that you'll find on our next program, that people aren't listening to.
Can you explain that a little bit? Tell us a little bit about religion, because I think a lot of people get confused. They say, what?
Me? Yeah. I think you'd be better at talking
about
that.
Well, hey, maybe I should. You know? But the thing about religion is that it's a form of godliness, but no God. And so a lot of people get caught up in religious activities,
rules,
all these things.
Organizations.
But God's not present. No relationship with God.
Right.
And so that's paramount. So we're talking about religion. We're not talking about Christianity. We're talking about a form that tries to mimic Christian lifestyle without Christ.
This is so important, because, you know, the things that the Lord has made known to us this is not in every case, but there is, I think it was Finney that said, maybe Finney, you can correct me, whoever it is.
Charles Finney.
But whoever, you know, whatever's wrong with a society, whatever's wrong with the government, whatever's wrong, he said it's the pulpit. The pulpit's always the issue. And why? Because God chose from the foolishness is what is preached. If you ever feel foolish after preaching a message, God chose, you know what I'm saying? Don't question yourself too much. Just get past Monday and you're back on your road. And so what I saw, John, in this vision the Lord showed me, it was a night vision, that it was this mega, and it's not every mega. Anytime Christians are gathered together, it's beautiful when they're gathered together for Christ.
Right, you know? Around Christ, for
but this
Christ.
This was a modern, you know, mega type church expression, which means it probably had about, 800 to 1,000 folks, maybe more than that. And this minister was ministering from this pulpit. And as he ministered, Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. So talking about spiritual things, not about people. But as he spoke from that podium, I could see dark images shoot out and they go into the crowd, and the crowd would respond, and it would come right back to the podium. And they were just shooting out and coming in like this, like, dark things. As a kid, you would see things like that and you go, oh my goodness, or whatever,
Right.
But this was coming out of the podium. And doctrines of demons is what the Word of God says. He says, Paul writes to Timothy right before his head's being cut off. So he's dedicated to the second Timothy writing this letter. He said, this is how it's going to be in the last days. People will gather people around them that tell them what they want to hear.
And
doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons basically means not what God is saying, but what the dark demonic realm is saying, and people that are given over to it. And so, how do you remedy this? Well, one is just like this article in The Guardian, that says that the church is okay, but religion's going to have to go. And it's so much easier to be the church when religion's gone.
Yes.
No, religious folks don't like that, because that's how they get their value. That's how, I think about George Barnard's book, when his book was, I forget the name of his book, but he says, talking to his friend in this book, it's a book full of stats. And it may have been Jesus Left the Building. I don't know what the name of it was.
No. I think it's Revolution.
Are you tired of going? Revolution is what it was. And he talked to his friend. His friend was over a traditional type church, maybe, I don't know how many people it was. And he said, if you started preaching the kingdom of God, George Barnes is asking his friend that. His friend says, if you started preaching the kingdom of God, what would happen? And he pauses and he says, I'd probably lose a lot of my members, because they would go out and do what he's saying. They would go out and become what we're supposed to become. And he said, what does this mean with your peers? And he said, my fellow ministers, peers, he said, they would think less of me.
Yeah.
And then he says, well, it's not really about me. Why would they think less? Because it's been around for years. My building's bigger than your building. I'm running more in my Sunday school. Mm. My house is bigger than your house. My car, my truck's bigger than your truck. I mean, all these different things that Pat says. And I mean, they're always comparing, you know, the carnal fleshly nature. You know, if Jesus measured things by sizes, and he had 12 and one of those was a betrayer, right? And so it's not about, it's about faithfulness. We're one church, no matter where we're at in Christ Jesus. And so I want you to see, what is it you think? We got Vine Seminar coming up, and these Vine Seminars, it's very limited seating. So the date's going to be determined. We got specific seats we're going to fill, but we want to be able to begin to explore with you, with those that feel that call, says, I'm ready to be the church. I'm ready to do what George Barna was revealing in his book, Revolution, just to be the church. And listen, you have to answer to God only. You really do. It's, I mean, that's the most important answer that we have to answer, is to him. It's our loyalties to him. And guess what? When you find other people that are loyal to him, they'll be your friend.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to have friends who have an allegiance to Jesus. And a byproduct of that is that you guys have a great relationship. Some people, John, have a allegiance to man, and they kind of put optional an allegiance to God. I remember calling a particular homeless type ministry and talking to this particular person over it. And the simple question I asked was, because I noticed that they were pandering with a few things and people were trying to change who they were in regards to ministry. It's just a simple thing. You know, who is your allegiance to? And they were offended. It's like, if you're a Christian and it's a Christian ministry, the answer is Jesus.
Bing, 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 bing.
That's
bing,
the answer, bing, right? Yeah. I mean, but the person was offended. I thought, oh, wow. And that's struggling with the approval of man versus the approval of God. I want you to just take a look right here. I'm going to just kind of give you a little review. What does it look like? Because the big thing is how do you, we're so used to programs and projectors and we don't worship, can't worship God unless we're looking at the back of somebody's head. And if you know at this eating together, as a matter of fact, I want you to take a look at this. And if you want to be one of the ones that attends the Vine Seminar, you need to go to vineseminars.org or vfntv.com to events and sign up. Space is limited. The date will be determined based on the number of registrants that they get in there. And it'll be life-changing for you. If you've been trying to figure out what does it mean to be the church? Because I believe the greatest harvest is coming. I believe that the traditional way of doing church isn't working, but it's okay. We can go back to God's original tent. He's over his church. We follow his spirit. There is order to it. But I'm telling you, it's a blessed thing because God calls us family.
We'll be right back.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked.
On January 6th, 1942, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 32nd President of the United States, addressed the nation. His first State of the Union speech after the attack on Pearl Harbor and the declaration of war.
We are fighting today for security, for progress, and for peace, not only for ourselves, but for all men.
And quoting from Genesis 1:26, Roosevelt concluded by saying,
we are inspired by a faith that goes back through all the years to the first chapter of the book of Genesis. God created man in his own image.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights. But it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with Him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Think about that, you know, it's such so simple to be the church.
Yeah.
And it's important to understand how to do it. It took us a while to figure out, you know, what does that mean, mm-hmm. and how to keep the order that God would have. And imagine this. Imagine over 5,000 churches.
Yeah.
I think about this. You know, there used to be a day years ago they had, you know, long distance was a big thing. And you had a company, a concept that said, you know, if we'll build relationships with a few customers and just love them, meet their needs, that we can compete with the top six long distance companies in the nation. They thought, mm-hmm. they thought they were crazy. They became like the third largest long distance company.
Wow.
You know why? They said, all you got to do is find somebody who cares about the customer and just a small amount of people, and mm-hmm. they'll take care of those few customers, and you'll do that over and over and over again. And you'll have a huge organization, a huge significant mark in the market, place in the market. You know, Jesus said the world understands things better than the church. Mm. We just keep trying to build things and do things. And buildings are not wrong. I mean, wherever the church is, wherever the people meet, that's important, whatever sure. it's in. But where we're going as a society, you know, the persecution that has come and that is coming, we got to get to the basics. We can't play church anymore. We got to really care for each other. We have to really love each other. And you can say you love each other, but until you get really close and you hang out, you find out what rough edges you have.
Mm-hmm.
You start realizing what's really important. You start looking at the Word of God. The Word of God makes such good sense when we start meeting like the Lord said, meet.
Absolutely. Discussing, interacting,
everything
caring
applies
for each other's needs.
Everything applies, yeah. You know? And so if this is something that's been stirred in your heart, you know, and we have so much more that we actually are going to make available to those who sign up for the Vine Seminar. It's a concentrated amount of time, just one weekend, a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, where we actually just impart what we've learned to you. Because maybe God's calling you to that. And of course, this is kind of our expression and what our stream is doing. And you can learn, maybe God's called you to start your own stream, or you're sure. in a stream, or maybe God's calling you to relate to VFN. I don't know. But I know this, that this is something the Lord's really laid on my heart and laid on our heart. And you need to know how to be the church. We know how to go to it. Hurry, get up. It's time to go. You need to get your clothes on. It's time to go. You know, it's time to go. Got to go to church. Come on. It's time to go. The preacher's talking. It's time to go. He needs to shut up. Yeah. People start telling him to shut up because they want to go back and leave again. And how can you go to what you really are? All you can do is truly be. And for years, when I ministered, you know, I founded a church, a traditional church, and I worked with Brother John Kilpatrick mm-hmm. with the church, working with him, and I introduced people that sat together for years, John, who were right next to each other, and they didn't even know each other.
Wow.
They really didn't care about each other. And it wasn't until I started getting them together and spending time together and they're eating together, and that became, you know, very meaningful. And now imagine this is what you do for the rest of your life.
Mm.
You have a few believers who you're hanging around, you're living your life with, you're loving their kids, they're loving yours, and you're going through ups and downs, things happen, but you're doing it together. Then you just encourage others to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what you'll find out is, you know, one church gathering produces another one. It's like a vine.
Oh,
he
yeah.
compared us to a vine, not a flower pot.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be really surprised. And what we started seeing when we started gathering in that format was miracles, the fullness of what God says, dreams, visions, fear of God. I mean, there was one particular meeting where, you know, somebody came in to do harm to one of the members. God knew what was on their heart. We didn't know what was on their heart. We just loved on them and just did these different things. But the presence of God became so strong that they began to gag. They began to couldn't stand in the presence, and they ran out of our gathering.
Mm.
And what it was, and it happened quite a bit. And, of course, you know, we're aware that, you know, could have dealt with that particular thing. But that's just the presence of God. He loves his church, and he takes care of his church. The thing is, are you ready? Just like the guardian said, he said, the church is okay. Basically, the church is okay.
Church is good.
But religion has to go. Religion is all those things you do that thinks that does something for some of your access to God, or you have to do this or have to do that. And you'll be surprised. It took a while for it to get out of us. But maybe that's you. This is a select few folks that will be able to come to this next Vine seminar. Maybe you're the one. You can find out more by going to vfntv.com and go to events, or just sign up. Go to vineseminars.org and sign up today to be a part of that. And maybe that's you. Maybe that's all inside of you. It's very exciting.
We'll be right back.
Let's talk today about how to discipline a one-year-old child who may begin to test the limits of authority at that age. My own daughter, for example, challenged her mother for the first time when she was just 9 months old. My wife was waxing the kitchen floor when Danae crawled to the edge of the linoleum. Shirley said, "No, Danae," gesturing to the child not to enter the kitchen. Since our daughter began talking very early, she clearly understood the meaning of the word no. Nevertheless, she crawled straight onto the sticky wax. Well, Shirley picked her up and set her down in the hallway, saying no more strongly as she put her down. 7 times this process was repeated until Danae finally yielded and crawled away in tears. That was my daughter's first little confrontation with her mother. There were many more to follow, I assure you of that. Now, how does a parent discipline a one-year-old? Very carefully and gently. A child at this age is easy to distract and divert. Rather than jerking a wristwatch from his or her hands, dangle a brightly colored alternative, and then be prepared to catch the watch when it falls. When unavoidable confrontations do occur, as with Danae, win them by firm persistence, but not by punishment. Compared to the months that are to follow, the period around 1 year of age is usually a tranquil and fun time in a child's life. Enjoy it to the fullest.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're going to be talking about Melissa Mayer, new CEO of Yahoo, and some really interesting things she had to say in one of her very first interviews with, I believe it was Fortune. I thought it was really very interesting. We're going to bring it to you. But, you know, she had started her career with Google, and if you look at Google's website and see, it's pretty plain. It's white background with the word Google across it. She's responsible for that. She was responsible at Google for Google Maps, which is very important. And she was also responsible for the formation of Gmail. So she has some history, some clout. Yeah, just a little. And so recently she was hired to be the new CEO of Yahoo and to kind of bring this brand back up. And now that she is a mother, she's a wife. She has a lot of things going on. In fact, she just delivered babies, Steve, as she took on the leadership of Yahoo. Amazing. What people can do, you know, I'm thinking it's a hard,
you're busy.
Yeah, hard enough alone, but she was asked this very important question. She said that the interviewer asked her, what is the most important thing, you do to get it all done? And I want you just to watch briefly, her interaction and what she says, because we're going to talk more about this. Watch this.
What's the most important thing that you do to get it all done?
You have to ruthlessly prioritize. And I do, and that's one of the reasons I haven't been talking, and I'm going to go back to not talking for a while after tonight, because I've been really internally focused. I'm from Wisconsin, and in Wisconsin, there's all kinds of different people, but the one thing that's true of all of us is we all follow the Green Bay Packers to different degrees. And it's the Green Bay Packers, the legacy and the lore there comes from their first coach, Vince Lombardi, who coached them to their early Super Bowl wins. And he's actually quite a pundit. It turns out these kind of phrases you hear, like, quitters never win and winners never quit. That's a Lombardi quote, right? The only time the success comes before our work is in the dictionary. That's a Lombardi quote, right? Vince Lombardi says, in my life there are three things: God, family, and the Green Bay Packers in that order, mm-hmm. right? And like, and you know, and I think that, you know, for me, it's God, family, and Yahoo in that order.
God, family, and Yahoo in that order. Mm. So how do you get it all done? She says ruthlessly.
Prioritize.
That's right. And it's so important because today, you know, events hit you like bugs hit a windshield. You know, you get up and life happens. I mean, we have so many people trying to get a hold of us. You may have 5 or 6 text messages waiting for you in the morning, maybe 10, 15 emails. And it seems all day long you're being bombarded with notifications. You're being bombarded with texts, phone calls, and you have work to do. And so, you know, you have to be able to say no to some things and yes to other things. But we want to talk about today the importance of prioritizing life and living life on purpose mm-hmm. as opposed to living life on accident. It's a big, big deal because, you know, John 15:8 says that this is to my Father's glory that you bear fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You know, God wants us to bear fruit in our life in all areas. And our life, you know, should produce something that our what we say and how we mm-hmm. act should point to the fact that says, oh yeah, those are disciples, those are followers of Jesus. In fact, you know, they were called Christians because they were just like Christ, little Christ, Christians. And, you know, in everything that we do, we got to really start thinking about, wait a minute, you know, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And what matters most?
Yeah. Well, it's easy too. It's like when you know your own values and that which makes up, you know, what is important to your life, it's easy to put those and understanding, okay, what are my priorities? And when you understand, it's like, okay, if God is number one in my life, it's like you have an awareness of, I have to answer for this life.
Yeah.
When you look at eternity, it's been said more than once is that the people that had the greatest impact in this life were never even focused on this life. They were focused on eternity.
Yeah.
And it's like we want to honor God with everything that we do, like you're saying.
That's amazing. But you think about it, that's the ultimate. But where are people today right now?
Yeah.
I mean, right now, a lot of people are lost in the sea of just events that are swirling around them. Maybe that's happening to you. You know, so many people are being pushed throughout the day, throughout the week and the month by all these external things that are happening, whether it's a holiday, a birthday party, a work event, someone's text, but they're not truly living life on purpose, like they meant to get there. A lot of people arrive at a destination on accident, not because they chartered their course, but because they just were bumped into that area or pushed into that area. And today you got to start recognizing and realizing, you know, what am I doing? You know, I always say it's important to ask the question, you know, who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? What's going on here? Because something about life is very interesting. It doesn't stop. You know, it keeps going and going and going. And you can avoid tomorrow's regrets today by slowing down and start to do what Steve was talking about. You need to start prioritizing life, but you got to know what life, like, what's life all about? What are your values? And the values are, what are the things that matter most to you? So many people today, Steve, so many people, you know, live life in such a way that what matters least always is the thing that dictates, you know, your life as opposed to what matters most. It should be the other way around. Yeah. And, you know, we often talk about a jar, if you will, you know, and getting all the big rocks in first. You can't do everything in a day. It's impossible. But what you can do is begin to start putting the main things in. What are the most important things in your life? I mean, Melissa Mayer said this is the CEO of Yahoo. She has a personal estimated self in a net worth of over $300 million. This is a, you know, successful woman in the world's eyes. But she says that in the order for her is God, family, and Yahoo. And I think that many believers would probably say the same thing. God, family, and, you know, work or, you know, whatever, right? That's what we say. But if we look at our day timer, mm-hmm. if we look at our emails, if we were to inventory our time, would we find that as a reality, or would we find the complete opposite? It's work, something else, and then God last, you know? And so I hate that word regret. You know, it's such a horrible word, because once it's all over with, you don't want to be talking about, you know, oh, I should have, you know, why didn't I? I could have, you know, how did I miss it? When you can seize the moment right now, and you know, the Bible tells us that life is but a vapor. And, I'll never forget what Steve Hill used to say all the time, Steve. He used to say that, you know, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of that opportunity. And I run into a lot of people today that miss so many wonderful opportunities because, one, they're not observant, they're not looking for them. Two, they don't recognize the season and the timing that they live. Three, they've taken just life for granted, and they sense that, you know, people will always be there, and that relationship will always be there, and that job will always be there, and that church will always be there, and that ministry will always be there, and that pastor will always be there, and that, no, you know, things happen, things change, things shift. And then, you know, you wind up saying statements like, you never know what you had until you lose it. What a horrible statement.
Yeah.
You know, what a horrible statement. Why do you have to lose something before you come to a place where you can begin to appreciate it? And so, listen, God's called you to a life that is filled with abundance. He's called you for a life that is filled with purpose. And you don't want to just to go blindly through life, but you want to be able to arrive to life and arrive to your destination because you absolutely meant to be there. Rick Joyner says that a huge percentage of the church doesn't even know their purpose, doesn't even know their calling. They don't even know their giftings. You know, how can we accomplish the work of God, advancing his kingdom, if we don't even know why we're here? You know, and here's a clue. It's not for the white picket fence. It's not for Disneyland. It's not for all of that.
Yeah.
It's about bringing the Father glory. We get back from this break, we're going to begin to start unpacking this more and really stirring, you know, hopefully be stirred up to say, you know what? This is my time. I'm going to stop being a wandering generality, but I'm going to be a person that says, God, what do you want me to do? You know, what are my instructions? I want to jump in and be all in what you're doing in this hour. And I don't want to live a life of regret. I want to live a life of purpose and a life of destiny.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.